God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I took a snapshot the other day of the Fox News website. I do this from time to time just to see what's the focus of Fox News. I took another one of MSNBC. And again, I do this from time to time just to see how each side is viewing things. I don't consider Fox to be all that conservative. There are hosts there that are, but remember, Fox HR, Human Resources, promoted the lie of transgenderism to their staff, told their staff it was very, very important that they read perverse pornographic books to their kids. They've donated money to pro-trans causes, trans being a lie, no one is actually trans. Now, part of this is probably employees playing games, right? They make a donation and the companies promise to match this. Oh, look, we can embarrass Fox, but not the HR stuff. But I took this snapshot the other day. Forget the polls, the new crystal ball giving voters a reliable indicator of election results. And it's a pair of dice in the image. I didn't click because it's obvious clickbait. Two reasons CBS won't release unedited Harris interview, columnist claims. Again, CBS isn't going to release it because it's an embarrassment to them and to Kamala Harris. I don't need to click on that. Liz Peek, three reasons why Trump's plan to indict Harris is the right call. I was tempted to click on that. Really because I'm tempted to have revenge. I have revenge in my heart for Kamala Harris and the great evil that's been done through her and continues to be. So revenge belongs to the Lord. I didn't click on that. Southern Battleground State poll shows which candidate has edge in fiercely tight race. Fox is a big bet on having conservatives who are still the majority of Fox's audience really spun up about the election. I want Trump to win. We don't make endorsements on this network. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you what I want to happen. And my hope is not in Donald Trump. I mean, I think he is going to do great things. If he is somehow able to make it past the attempts to steal the election, the obvious attempts to rig it that are going on right now, I think God will use him in remarkable ways. Specifically because I heard Donald Trump recognize that his faith changed the day he was almost killed. And when he spoke about it, he sounded very sincere. On MSNBC, the Supreme Court failed to uphold the Constitution by allowing Trump on our ballots. Jordan Rubin. Of course, the Constitution says that a man who foisted an insurrection cannot be president. President Trump is not charged with foisting an insurrection. There is no court case that charges him with an insurrection, not one. Now, MSNBC knows that. Trump's disastrous town halls are a case study, and the main thing his campaign lacks. Disastrous. Has anyone seen a really disastrous moment with President Trump? The moment they're trying to make disastrous was President Trump choosing to dance. Why was he dancing? To lighten the mood. Because a couple people had passed out. Elon Musk's latest change to X is the last straw for many users. It's all panic, panic, panic. I ran Twitter's civic integrity team. Here's what Elon Musk gets wrong about elections. Panic, panic, panic. Let's panic. Let's be very afraid, very afraid. There's this famous poem. You've heard it many, many times. It's by Martin Niemöller. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me. There was no one left to speak for me. Martin Niemöller. Prominent German pastor. It's sometimes called a poem. It's not a poem. It's a quote. It's a casting of a vision into the future. Let me ask you this. In 10 years, when you and you sit with your kids, maybe your grandkids, and you reminisce. What did you do when they came for Christians in Scotland? When they told Christians in Scotland, you can pray in your house, but if your house is too close to an abortion clinic, we're going to need you to pray silently in your head. What did you do? I mean, you're sitting around and reminiscing. Or in Ireland, the UK, people praying silently, 400 meters from an abortion clinic, their back turned, hiding behind a tree or a pole so as to not be seen, silently praying for their dead child taken in an abortion before they knew the Lord. The parents, that is. What do you want to say? I'm imagining that you're sitting around and there's a fire crackling in the background. If you have a fireplace, you've had a meal. You're looking back at that time 10 years ago where things started to change. And your daughter says, what did you guys do? We voted harder. We voted really hard, honey. Super hard. What should we do? We should demand that our country stop in its tracks the attack against Christians. We should demand it. We should pray for it. And we should pray more loudly. We should take our churches, and many people are being pressured to use churches as political outreach. I've seen people I truly respect, Eric Metaxas, saying if your pastor is not on the pulpit demanding that people vote and vote a certain way, then your pastor is aiding and abetting the enemy. I understand the view. How about this? How about if in our churches we take all the issues that are gospel related and lay them out? How about if in these closing weeks of the election, we remind everybody, God breathed life into mankind. He made the decision. God decided to give life to the newborn baby, to the zygote, to the fetus. That was God's decision. God gave us the offer of life. Once it's breathed into us, he has given us life. In the garden, he gave us liberty. And with liberty, we have the freedom to pursue happiness. So what if we remind everybody, beginning with Genesis, that what God decides to set in motion, human life, that is God's to take. There are rare exceptions, a just war, for instance, where you are clearly rescuing the least of these from murder and abuse on a massive scale. There's been instances like that. The quote I shared was a warning during World War II. What if we, from the pulpits, teach that God has set up order in the universe? God is a God of law and order. After all, the Lord Jesus said, I have not come down, I've not come to tear down the law, but to fulfill it. His fulfilling of the law was the fulfilling of the sacrifice that had to happen, the propitiation. What if we share from the pulpit that God is a God of law and order? He is not a God of chaos. Where you see politicians installing chaos, you have ungodliness. When those same politicians are rallying to end the lives of babies to the last second, right before they come out of the mother, and sometimes afterwards, they're standing against God. What if we remind people that as God is a God of law and order, he's also a God of biological order? Male and female, he created us. In his image, he created us. What if we preach from the pulpit that if there is someone who is out there insisting that people are neither male nor female, they are lying about God's creation? They're demanding that other people lie about God's creation. Any politician doing these things is closer and closer and closer to being purely ungodly. So far, we have anti-life. Kill the baby. Pro-crime. And there are politicians who are pro-crime. Kamala Harris, because it suits her party right now, is pro-crime. Because she is a sponsor of bailing out dangerous terrorists. She's a sponsor of that. And because she's a sponsor of an open border, which has allowed drug cartels and dangerous gangs in who are strong-arming people, stealing apartment buildings, and charging rent. That's happening. Oh, and it's not, quote, just in Aurora, Colorado. It also happened in San Antonio, Texas, where they took over five buildings. So we remind people of these things. A politician who pretends that a girl is a boy or a boy is a girl, they're lying on a massive scale, and they're lying about God's design. What if we speak from the pulpit about what's going on in Israel? We speak about God's special promise to the Israeli people. He'll bless those who bless Israel. He won't bless those who don't. Does not mean that we have to agree with the government of Israel. As I make that point many, 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 many times. Every time we talk about this, it doesn't mean we have to agree with the government of Israel. It's a fallen government. But what if from the pulpit we say, we sent American troops into Israel about a week ago and no one is talking about it? Those American troops are going to be fired upon by with missiles we were forced to buy. Just this week, we saw a leak from the State Department and the Pentagon into the hands of Iran so that they could better fight their war against Israel that they're fighting through proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah, acting as proxies for Iran and Libya. So what if we did that? What if we talked about God's personality? From the pulpit, if we looked at God's personality in terms of what he warned us about, God warned us, don't pursue a king aside from me. He used the prophet Samuel for that. And Samuel, speaking for God, said, if you appoint yourself a king, they're going to steal your crops and your vineyards. They're going to impress your sons into battle. They're going to take some of your daughters and put them into their concubines. They're going to abuse you. So what if we, from the pulpit, said the more a candidate is anti-life, pro-crime, lying about gender and physical sex, the more that a candidate is king-like, the more a candidate is in favor of funding both sides of the war in Israel, the further away from God they are. I have not described a person, have I? I've described issues and related them to a biblical view. What if we did that? Where do you want it to be in 10 years when you have this conversation about that day that America changed? Because in this election, America is going to change. It will. This is a country-changing election forever. In my judgment, this is the turning point. 10 years from now, we're going to know if I was right. I don't think I'll be here. I hope to be with the Lord. You'll probably be here talking about that turning point. There's a group of so-called Catholics who are urging 64,000 Catholics in Arizona to stay home. That could be a conversation you have 10 years from now. What did you do when they were coming for the Christians in Scotland and eventually in America? I stayed home. I stayed home because I did not care for either the candidates, so I just chose not to vote. Or this. Well, I knew one of the candidates was ungodly, according to all these measures. But a lot of my friends said it was time for change. Well, hadn't that candidate been in there for 4 years? Yeah. But she's a black woman. Yeah, I know. I mentioned the person. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View, and we'll continue. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Never say Satan doesn't have a good long practice using his limited toolkit. He can distract, he can distort, he can depress, and he does it well. It's a long time to practice. He's also clever, and he rolls things out very, very carefully. He rarely comes out with shock and awe. It doesn't play to his advantage. That cozying up to society is far, far better. And sometimes it's important to step outside of our fishbowl and look at the fish, right? Our fellow fish, and where they're at. So in one way, we all swim together. I'm not trying to use a chosen metaphor, but it's just that it came up. In one way, we all swim together. In others, there are people who are far, far down a very dangerous stream. They don't know it. They don't understand that they're headed for nets, and nets that can capture them forever and remove them from God forever. And Satan has done it slowly and carefully. A lot of people do not remember an event at the Democrat National Convention back in the days of Barack Hussein Obama. And this was when the Democrat National Convention made a move to recognize Jerusalem. And it took three votes to recognize Jerusalem.
President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. In the opinion of the... I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted, and the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. They actually took three votes to get that done, that biblical number three. So it's not necessarily to say, okay, this was an anti-Christian behavior. Of course, it's important that Christians support the Israeli people. Because God does. It's important that we recognize that God has said, I will bless who blesses Israel. I will not bless those who don't. That's what he said. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything the Israeli government does, for God's sake. I mean, they've fallen. They're owned by pharma and the sexual left. So we don't have to agree with everything they do. They're as corrupt as any world government. Perhaps not as any. They're not Ukraine. But that was a very careful thing. And Satan works through degrees. He rarely comes out with shock and awe. So we've gone from that to a place where we hear these new comparisons. And this is the comparison of the story of Ruth and Boaz in the Bible. And I want you to hear this. It's from a Lutheran church in Milwaukee. Obviously, it's, not obviously, you haven't heard it yet, but it's an Elka congregation, meaning, of course, it's non-biblical because most Elka congregations are now non-biblical. We were at an Elka church in Seattle and watched it become a tool of the left. So utterly painful. So here is this comparison, Ruth and Boaz, and just listen. And notice now where we're at, thinking again of our fellow fish in the fishbowl, is we're just spending a little time outside the fishbowl right now.
There's nothing quite so clear as a mother-in-law giving her daughter-in-law advice how to seduce a wealthy older man to save them from homelessness, poverty, and rape. This is what makes this story extra queer for me. Because, let's face it, pride started as a riot. Pride started as police officers breaking into a gay bar in Manhattan with a specific purpose, as they had done for decades and still continue to do, of going in and arresting everybody their hand as they could. And so for me, this is the queerness of this wonderful queer love that we see here. This kind of love that says not only that your people are my people and your God, my God, where you die, then I will die, but also I'm going to help you figure out how to hook up with that rich man. Make sure you wear this perfume because he likes this perfume. Shimmy a little bit, because this is also queer love and this is also queer empowerment. And I can't honestly help too but wonder what this says about how we relate to our neighbor. What does this mean if we are so willing to love our neighbor as ourselves?
So, of course, it wasn't anything like so-called queer love. Those who know the story of Ruth and Boaz understand he's lying. And maybe he's just someone who is confused. I don't think so. I think people lie. And I think it's very, very important for people to lie when they are trying to change the word of God, because otherwise it can't be done. Can't. So we've gotten to that point. We're at a far, far more advanced point than most people understand as we're looking back at the fish in the fishbowl and watching. So now we have a point in time where the satanic temple and is forming in cities named after Samuel Alito's mother. But what are they doing in this temple? Well, they're performing abortions. See, they're taking our religious freedom and they're using it against us. And when they do that, we have this. We have a temple ceremony that comes straight out of Old Testament times. A temple ceremony about killing babies. And we're watching it happen. It's called, the website for the Satanic Temple's online abortion center is named the Samuel Alito's Mom's Satanic Abortion Clinic. And it claims the procedure is a religious ritual. Founder Lucienne Graviesa has called abortion a sacrament. They get to do that. They can use our freedoms against us. Smart move. Very smart. Remember, Satan has a limited toolkit. He can distort, distract, and depress. And in this case, he's using depressed people to distort them into believing that killing a baby is a solution to something. Well, it is. It's a final solution to a baby's life. And it could risk being a final solution to your salvation. Now, if you've had an abortion and you feel that guilt, please take it to the cross. Please take it to Jesus. Please confess. And if you're a man who was involved in that decision, please take it to the cross. Please confess and know that Jesus is anxious to forgive. He is anxious to show his mercy. He's anxious to have you in good stead with him. He loves you. And once that's forgiven, it's as far as east is from west. But that's where we've landed now. So it's easy to look at all this and say we've reached a point of no return. Perhaps we have. Perhaps we have. Perhaps we're headed towards Judgment Day. Perhaps we're ended towards the last days, and yet every generation believes that. But all around us, there are beautiful, beautiful signs. We see the awakenings of famous people more than we see the awakenings of the non-famous, because famous people are just that. They've got great visibility. We've seen Russell Crowe taking his baby steps, Russell Brand taking his baby steps into being a Christian. Right now, he's sort of in that new agey, my experience is my truth, and he's reading the Bible. He's studying it. Give him credit. He's doing that. We see all of a sudden conservative personalities no longer afraid to mention the name of the Lord Jesus, and they were afraid before. They were. I've worked in conservative media a long time, and I was lectured very early on when I started to mention Jesus on the show. I was lectured by people who were more successful in the business than me, saying that's not the way to go. You're going to alienate people. Stay on politics. You know that they agree with you on politics. When you start quoting the Bible, you're going to divide people. You're going to lose audience. Okay. That's a fair trade. I'm more than willing to lose audience if in trade I get to speak the word of God. course, we don't worry about that on AFR. We have an audience of one that's God Almighty and a family of many that's you. So we see famous people, some we know of, Russell Brand. A lot of people know who he is since he's become a cultural commentator. We see some lesser known people. There's a former OnlyFans model, meaning a young woman who took her clothes off for money, who engaged in sexual activity on video for money. She's come to Jesus, and she is all over social media, trying to help other young women come to Jesus. There's Korn's Brian Welch. Korn was a pretty heavy band. Won't play their music here because it's very, very heavy. And he talked about his transformation into being someone who believes in and follows and apparently loves the Lord Jesus.
I'm a rich rock star, and I have everything. The outside world says I have everything, but, you know, inside, I'm dead. By that time, I had moved back to Bakersfield, where we all grew up, and my parents were helping me with my daughter. I met some Christians. They invited me to church. I was like, who cares? You know, I'll try it. And the pastor starts saying, Jesus is real. He'll come into your life if you invite him in, and all the negative stuff can't stay. And I was like, I was listening to him, and I was like, I'm going to try this. I went home with my drugs, and I just poured my heart out to God. I said, God, these drugs are going to kill me and leave my daughter without a dad. Please, if you're real, come into my life. Give me a new life. And with a long story short, I just had an encounter with God's love within the next few weeks. And I felt like Jesus came in and put his arms around me. I didn't see anything, but it was just like it was a life-changing event. And I felt like I was at home for the first time.
So that's, as he calls himself, a rich, famous rock star. It's really, really easy as we look at the fishbowl to go, all the fish are lost, as we're just spending a little time outside the fishbowl, seeing where some of the fish are swimming into that net, a progressive Christianity. There's no such thing as progressive Christianity, because Christianity doesn't need to progress. It is progress as far as it can go, because it's the Word of God, unchanging, unchangeable. It does not progress, because it is the ultimate progression, the ultimate arrival point. It doesn't need to progress. Some people are caught in that net. Other people have been caught in that net, and they became comfortable in that net. And so they start to say, well, this net's not that bad. Here I am. I've denied the church. I've denied Jesus, but my body's designed to serve something. So in some cases, they serve sex. In some cases, they serve drugs. In other cases, they go full all in, and they serve Satan. Now, that's where we're at, where a lot of people are doing that openly. Some of them think it's a joke. Some of them think, the Satanic Temple, it's not really a temple. And look, they're just poking their nose, thumbing their nose at people who don't want women to choose when they call this a satanic ritual. If you're one of those people, may I avail you of something? In that book that you might deride, the Bible, we read about the ritual sacrifice of kids, sometimes into volcanoes, sometimes on altars, always at the behest of a small g god. Always. Do you think that a small g god, that is a demon, particularly cares if you believe in him? See, he's very clever. All he cares about is that you not be saved. Because the chilling fact of the matter is this. You will believe in the Lord Jesus. Your knee will drop. Your tongue will confess. You will know. Wow. You've always existed. You always will exist. You are light. You are truth. You are love. You are all these things. And here I am, wretched before you. You will know. At that time, you will also know that there is a hell. And some people will know it forever. I don't want to preach fire and brimstone. I'm not a preacher. I just want to point out to people that book you deride talks about child sacrifice. And it's easy to say, well, so many fallen. Why don't we give up? Because we know how the book ends. We know God wins, but also because of this. We are one church in North Idaho, just one. We've got a lot of members, 17,000 members. We've got a lot of locations. God has worked mightily through this church. We had 56 baptisms in a single day of worship at our locations. Five locations in this area, 56 people on one Sunday, three services, five locations. Now, that's a pretty big day. And God is having us witness 24 baptisms every weekend, between 20 and 25 baptisms. People coming into church who've never been to church, and you want to know what one of the common denominators is? They're coming in and they're telling us something is wrong. The world has become cold. It seems that there's evil afoot. We're having people come in for the first time ever saying, I actually see evil. We haven't been able to explain it in a worldly sense, in a scientific sense. So we've come to the church. Praise God. He said he'd come to divide. And he is. Thank you for having us on your side, Lord. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. It really breaks my heart. It honestly does to do what a lot of other people are doing when we encounter Girl Scouts, and that is to not buy from them. And it's not just those of us who aren't doing that anymore. And I don't do it because probably the same reason you don't. The Girl Scouts are now not at the fault of the girls, clearly, but the Girl Scouts organization is a pro-abortion, pro-gender lie, leftist organization like so many others. It's another institution that's been captured. And this is having a direct response on what it costs to be a Girl Scout. They're talking about increasing membership fees by 240% from $25 to $85. And you can look at this as very, very bad news for girls who want to be in this but are from homes that cannot afford to spend that money, a 240% increase. And they've said, this is why, Fox Business Network, Girl Scouts of the USA may raise yearly membership fees by 240% from $25 to $85. We've collectively acknowledged that a membership dues increase is needed, which is greater than the 25% or $6.25 the National Board has authority to approve in a single triennium. Girl Scouts of USA President Noren Khan and CEO Bonnie Barzowski wrote in a handbook for delegates who will vote on the potential increase this weekend. And this is happening because girls aren't joining. And why would they? They can go join the Boy Scouts. Because the Boy Scouts now pretend that boys are girls and girls are boys. And the Girl Scouts have gone along with this madness. So as this is happening and we see the reports on this, this is going to have an effect on families who cannot afford this.
Being a Girl Scout could soon cost you more. The Girl Scouts of the USA are voting whether to raise membership dues from $25 a year to $85 a year. That's a 240% hike per scout. Membership dues are the organization's largest source of revenue. In 2023, they generated $38 million from nearly 2 million members. But the Girl Scouts have faced cash flow issues stemming from the pandemic, inflation, and changing consumer behaviors
and the pandemic. Flus don't stop people from going back to the Girl Scouts. Changing consumer behaviors. Indeed.
Some members believe the hike is out of reach for many families. A Girl Scout spokesperson says the organization will continue to provide financial aid to any girl who needs it.
You can make a report like that without mentioning the fact that the Girl Scouts is now a political organization means you're a political organization. If you fail to look at this. Now, as I've said, it really breaks my heart when I walk past a store and there are girls who are raising money for the Girl Scouts and they're selling the cookies. Number one, I don't eat the cookies. So I used to deal with that by saying, hey, I'll buy these cookies for you. You can eat some of your own cookies. Now I deal with that by stopping and saying, hi, I really appreciate your hard work. It's a very difficult thing to stand and ask strangers to support you. I really, really wish I could buy these cookies. I'd like to buy them from you, but I'm sorry that your organization supports things that I can't support at all. So it makes me very sad to have to tell you I can't buy the cookies today. I'm sorry. Now, I could go into detail. And if an older girl were going to ask me to go into detail, I would. If it was a young girl who asked me that, I would say, well, there's some things that the organization's doing that I believe stand against God. And I really, really love Jesus. So I really can't do this. I'm sorry, but maybe you can ask your parents. If it was an older teen or preteen, I would probably be very specific about what they're supporting. What I do notice is when parents watch me do this, there's one of two responses. One response is an angry red face. I've actually had a parent come up and yank their daughter away from me. Or a resigned face, a sad face, and a nod. Because parents know. Parents know. And I get it. Your daughter loves this thing so much that you want her to be a part of it. But you need to communicate to her about why there are people who are turning away. And truly, if your conscience is telling you that it is not right to stay in, I beg you to have that conversation with your daughter about why these changes have to occur. And trust me when I tell you, it's very difficult, I know, to have a girl who so wants something that she simply can't let her have. I'll talk about that in a personal note today. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in The Tower of Babbling. Remember Brian Stelter? He was fired from CNN and then brought back. His show had horrible ratings. I don't mean to sound like President Trump. They truly had just horrible ratings. So he's been back now as a guest. I don't think he has his own program. He had hosted the so-called Reliable Sources show, which was funny because Stelter is the furthest thing from a reliable source. This is the discussion about President Trump supposedly going after journalists. President Trump has said he wants an investigation into ABC, probably CBS, and their editing of the Kamala Harris interview on 60 Minutes. I agree. There should be. That was an in-kind donation to Kamala Harris. Brian Stelter discussing this on CNN. When a gentleman interrupts and makes a very, very strong point, this is a longer clip than we normally play in The Tower of Babbling, but I think it's a good one.
Doing journalism that he does not like.
But we look at it and it's...
But didn't Obama spy on a journalist?
But Ryan, it's in... Hold on, Ryan. It's in all caps and, didn't, but and didn't it seems Obama funny, it seems wild, so people sometimes dismiss it, even though it's very serious.
But Ryan, didn't Obama spy
no
on a journalist?
No administration is perfect.
But what? No, I don't think that, I do not believe that Donald Trump did what Barack Obama did.
The Trump administration put Reality Winner behind bars for leaking to The Intercept. Every administration is guilty of some of this.
Reality Winters was not a journalist. Reality Winters worked for government. That's not a journalist. Brian Stelter effectively defending Barack Obama spying on journalists. Why? Well, because Trump. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. There are actually two soundbites put together, and this is the same person making the same statement. And it's about this insane, utterly, utterly crazy, worldwide, right-wing conspiracy about this insane idea of the replacement theory. Just so nuts.
Ideas like the Great Replacement, which is the perfect marriage, really, between Islamophobic racism, anti-Semitism, and white nationalism, because the theory goes that there is a sort of Zionist conspiracy to breed out white people.
the white British population has decreased by 600,000, while the minority population has increased by 1.2 million. So, yes, lads, we're winning.
Got that? Now, I don't know what this has to do with Zionism. I don't know why she threw that in there. This is about mass Muslim immigration into formerly free countries, and now the mass immigration of people from Hispanic countries, Mexico, etc., into the United States. And it's happening. Or from Haiti. It's not a theory. She admits it. They're winning. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This is a Las Vegas swing voter who's going to vote for Kamala Harris. Has a really, really interesting opinion about something President Trump did.
There are rumors and things that I need to research more. Still leaning towards him a little bit more.
Rumors about her, what kind of rumors?
Sleeping her way to the top. Anybody can say that about a woman. I'm tired of hearing that. You know, hopefully it's not true.
Well, what about the men that slept their way to the top? There's a lot of them.
There are. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Serious. We should give them both.
No, I'm tired.
Trump's done a lot of that. So, hey, there you go.
He's had how many wives? But yeah, no, I'm tired.
Wait a minute. President Trump slept his way to the top? He did? That's the first I've heard of that. And it's right there in the Mockingbird media on PBS. It must be true. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, I really do know what it's like to have your little girl want something so much and not be able to give it to her. Sometimes it's bizarre things. Back when my daughter was young and we did not yet have a handle on how much of a distorted view she had of herself. And I prayed that this wasn't demonic, and maybe it was, and maybe I didn't recognize this, and God's done so much in her life. But our daughter had developed a very distorted body image, and it became so distorted that she decided that she was ready to starve herself for 30 days, to not eat for 60. That was sort of an advanced point. But when she was about 9 years old, we were visiting, and she said, Dad, I want to be an Asian girl. And I said, well, why? Well, because their bones are perfect, and their skin is perfect, and their eyes are perfect, and I'm just a standard blonde girl. I said, honey, what does that mean? Well, I'm just a standard blonde girl. She was nine. I said, well, honey, you can't become Asian. It's not possible. Isn't there an operation? Couldn't I get permanent hair dye or get my eyes permanently dyed? I said, you'd be distorted. No one would really think you're Asian. And later, when she'd said, and this is when she was about 14 or 15. No, I guess that's not true. No, it's 12 or 13. She said, Dad, I'll be happy when I weigh 95 pounds. Now, some girls that age do weigh 95 pounds, but not competitive athletes. Not girls who are nationally ranked speed skaters. They don't weigh that. They're far too athletic. And I made a terrible mistake. Terrible. What I should have said is, God loves you the way you are. You're absolutely perfect in his eyes. Utterly, utterly perfect. Instead, I said something like this. Well, honey, you'd have to starve yourself forever to weigh that. You have too much muscle. You're too good of an athlete. Your body's too strong. What a stupid, horrible thing to say. My better response above all of this would have been this. It sounds like you're really hurting about the way your body looks right now. It sounds like this is really painful to you. Talk to me some more about that. In fact, could we go get Mom and have this conversation as a family? But before we do that, could we have a prayer together? I hope that we could sit and pray to thank God for life, to thank him for making you, and for having designed for you and counting every hair on your head. Before you were born, he knew every hair on your head, and he knew the plans for you. I know what it's like. I know what it's like in a modern sense. My daughter's about to graduate from art college. And she is a deeply gifted artist. God has given her such enormous gifts. Any platform she could use, any material. She had one in class where she had to do a sculpture, and lo and behold, she taught herself to sculpt beautiful, beautiful things in about 3 weeks. Digital art, she conquered that. Writing, she's just got such an artistic soul God gave her. So she said to us one day, after I graduate this college, I really want to go to the best art school in the world. So we had a discussion about this. Hey, if you come up with half the money, we'll come up with the other half. But you have to come up with the first half. Where's the school, hon? Portland, Oregon. Oh. And she said, I knew it. I knew it. You guys won't want that. I think I did a better job this time. I said, sounds like you really want to go there. It's the best art school in the world. It's my fantasy school. I really want to go. Why do you think I'm concerned? Because it's liberal. I get it. Portland's liberal, but it's not going to turn me into a liberal. Is that really my concern? Don't I have family members who are liberal? Didn't we just come from a family reunion where you hung out all day with your very, very liberal cousins? Yeah. Why do you really think? What do I really think is going on in Portland? She sat there for a second and looked at me sadly, and she said, Satan. Yeah. Yeah, it's satanic. We looked at the school website together, and friends, the art is brilliant. It's stunning, breathtaking in its brilliance. And it's vile. It's evil. My daughter saw that. She said, yeah, I get it. These are evil images. I said, honey, this is a satanic image. It is. But dad, I won't fall for that. I can go be light and salt. I loved hearing that. And maybe someday my daughter will be a person who can go be light and salt. Right now, she's not yet mature enough in her faith. She may decide to go, but she'll have to pay with her money because I can't back that. Praise God. She actually understands it. Praise God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This is Ben. A Disciple's View.